It would have been comforting. It would have been sad and comforting and cathartic for the women to be able to wash and anoint Jesus' body. Yes, it would have brought their grief to the fore, but that action was what they could do for dead loved ones: wash and anoint their bodies. So it would have been comfortable for them. It would have brought perhaps a little bit of closure to the recent awful events surrounding the arrest, the trial, and the execution of their teacher and friend. It would have been comforting, but that didn't happen. They went to the tomb worried that they might not have access to his body because of the stone. And ironically, what they find is that the stone was rolled away and they didn't have access to his body because he wasn't there. Not what they had expected. And it's fascinating to look at the ironies in this story. The irony of worrying about being able to get in the tomb to get to him, and finding they can get in the tomb, but he's not there. We also think about how in the Gospel according to Mark, Jesus is continually expressing the presence of the kingdom of God by performing miraculous acts. And he heals, and he liberates, and he frees, and he does these amazing things, and he tells people right away, don't tell anybody. And the reason that he does that is because he doesn't want his ministry to be characterized by spectacle. So he tells them, don't tell anybody. And of course, people immediately go forth and they tell people. They're excited, they're enthusiastic, and they want to tell people. And here the messenger says to them, he wants you to go and tell. And the text says, and they leave, and they don't tell anybody because they were terrified. So he says, don't tell early in the gospel, and they go and tell. And he says, tell at the end of the gospel, and they don't tell. The irony of it is amusing, to say the least. And then there's this messenger, this young man. The phrase young man is actually one word in Greek. And the other, there are only two places that word is used in the Gospel according to Mark. And the other place where that word is used is in the story at Jesus' arrest. It's just a little paragraph, easily missed. Jesus is arrested. Among the crowd that was there around Jesus was a young man, and the text says he was dressed only in a linen wrap. And the guards try to seize him too, and they get hold of the wrap, and he races away naked. And when we encounter that word only there, and only at this scene where there's a young man to tell them that Jesus is not there, we have to pay attention. And it makes us think of ancient baptismal practices where people were baptized by being immersed naked, and upon arising were clothed in a white robe. So we wonder if that's what the author of the Gospel according to Mark was hinting at. It's lurking there in the scenery, in the imagery, this baptism imagery. And so what we are left with as we encounter this story, which at first seems like a simple little story, is a great deal actually of complexity. And we're left to wonder, why is it that there are all these ironies? And why is it that this empty tomb is the only symbol that we have of the risen one. What's that about? And as we reflect on that, we begin to realize that had Jesus been there waiting on them, we'd have clung to that. They would have clung to that. The image of Jesus sitting in his tomb. And they would not have realized that he had more important things to do than hang out at his tomb. And that is ultimately the most interesting part of this gospel story, that Jesus is on the move. The risen one is on the move. He has important things to do. He's on the way. He leaves a message at the empty tomb. Follow me. Go back to Galilee. And Galilee is where his earthly ministry was, where he was doing all of that healing and exorcising and restoring and liberating. All of that was happening in Galilee. We're sent back to the place of his ministry all those years before his death. And then we look at that gospel again, the gospel according to Mark, and we see that many, many times throughout the gospel, that word rising is used. He raises people from sickness to health. He raises people from death to life. He raises people from blindness to sight. He raises people from being possessed by demons to being set free and liberated. Throughout the gospel, he raises people, and we begin to realize because the tomb is empty and he hasn't waited there, we begin to realize that resurrection has been happening all the way through the gospel. And it's not something that we can see until after he is risen. Then we see it. Then we begin to realize that the resurrection is not something that we cling to. The resurrection is not something we cling to. It's not a security blanket for our anxiety about dying. Resurrection is about sharing the life of God and doing the things that God does. He sends them on their way with a message to share. And that's crucial. That is crucial. Because Jesus, in his being born, in his living and his dying, gathers up all of human life and makes it part of his own, and he rises and he brings our life with him, and we now live with God. And resurrection is a result of life with God. The goal, the important thing, the hot issue is being part of God. We live in Christ now. One of the results of that is resurrection. One of the results of that is life after death. Eternity is because God's life is eternal, and we share God's life. It's a result. It's an effect. It's caused by God's desire, God's loving desire to share all of God's life with us. And so resurrection is not a thing to cling to because it's just an effect of living with God. And it's God in Christ to whom we cling. It is God in Christ whom we imitate in the power of the Holy Spirit. It turns out when resurrection is not a thing, but a descriptor of the life that we live, the life that we live now, and the life that we live when we die, and the life that we live after we die, it turns out when that's what resurrection is a description of that, its best symbol is an empty tomb, full of potential, and not a place you hang out, because there is no hanging out. It's all about going. It's all about sharing the message. Last night, somebody who's been at all of our Holy Week services, it's a big week, all of our Holy Week services, said to me, "I think it'd be easier to be Hindu." And Deacon Greg said, "Really? With all those gods?" And I know an old monk who said, "This eternal life stuff is very tiring." And it is, because it's on the move. It's because God is a verb. It's because what we're doing is being set on the path. And so we're always on the move. It's not about resting. It's not about comfort. Yes, it would have been nice to anoint and wash his body. That would have been comforting, but it would have missed the point. That Jesus is risen because God is on the move, and what God is doing will not be stopped, even by death. That's why the empty tomb is the symbol. And so we're challenged today. We're challenged as we remember and rejoice and celebrate in the resurrection. We're challenged to understand that resurrection, it's a call long before it's a comfort. Long before it's a comfort, the resurrection of Christ is a call to each and every one of us.